I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
We are on until 4 o'clock. And after 4 o'clock, you go to the iHeart app, and it's the John and Ken On Demand podcast, and you could hear everything you missed or hear it all over again.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. We also have everything in place here on Friday. First, your chance for money. That's still around, $1,000, KFI Inflation Compensation Contest. The first word of the show will be revealed around 1:20. Another word pops up at 3:20. So stand by for that. Follow the instructions for your chance to win the money. And of course, this being Friday, we're going to hear from the Moistline people at around 3:20 and 3:50. And it was a last-minute decision by the committee, bolstered by a news story that came out this morning, to throw some hacks into the dumpster. The mob's been busy. This is probably the fourth consecutive week we've had to call on the mob.
Sixth straight week?
Sixth, yeah. I think.
Ooh, this is a rough period here.
I guess he knows because he has to put together the audio and...
I counted earlier. I was like, huh, this has been quite the streak.
Yeah. There's a lot of garbage and debris that has to be cleaned up.
We're in something that all the years we've done this, we've never seen before. And I mentioned this the other day. We used to follow the Public Safety Committee in Sacramento quite a bit back in the 90s because it was a horrible period of crime, particularly gang crime. And often they would block laws that dealt with, you know, extra time, enhancements, three strikes, things like that. Now we're in an era where what they're doing in Sacramento is figuring out ways to release prisoners, not take them in. They're so completely in the opposite direction that this has to be countered and countered aggressively. And that's what we've been doing for some time now. And it's been the cause for a number of hacks to go in the dumpster in the last few weeks. And that is the case once again today on one certain topic, which may sound small, but really indicates exactly where all this ideology comes from. So that'll come up later in the show.
There's also a clip I want to play later, and I just heard this driving in on one of the cable networks, where Lori Lightfoot, the Chicago mayor who just got bounced out for re-election, Karen Bass, Eric Adams, I think there was some other mayor from Houston, and they all had a panel discussion up on stage discussing...
Yeah, I heard that she's at a mayor's conference. It's a mayor's conference.
Yeah, well, they were Lori Lightfoot was quite blunt in saying that, you know, the prosecutors have to stop letting these criminals out. I was stunned when I heard this.
Well, she's no longer mayor. What does she care?
Well, yes, but she's actually saying it out loud. What everybody yelled at her for years, and that's what drove her out of office. It was primarily out of control crime. Of course, then they elected somebody who's even more left-wing than she is.
But it sounds like to me when she's mayor, she didn't call it out or do anything about it, she's okay with it. Now that she's not mayor, all right, now I can be a critic.
Yeah, but she is telling the truth in this moment.
All right, we'll play the audio. I have no problem with that.
All right, but play cut number five.
I come to this conversation as a former federal prosecutor. I come to this as a former defense attorney. I am the sister of a returning resident. But I know that there are people in my city that are wreaking havoc every day and need to be off the street. That's reality. What do we say to not only the victims of crimes, but the people who are terrified about crimes in their neighborhoods, most of whom look like us? If we say, yeah, the police department is spending all this time and resources to arrest, put a case on, and then the judges and the prosecutors say, you know what, we're going to let you out on electronic monitoring to wreak havoc again. If somebody musters the courage to come forward and identify the person who has just shot up their neighborhood and then sees Pookie walking bold as day back on the street 2 days later, what does that say to them? You're telling them that the criminal justice system doesn't care about victims and witnesses. And if we don't call that out every single day with these prosecutors and with these judges, many of whom don't live in our city and don't care about what's happening, then we are going to lose an opportunity to advocate for the victims and the witnesses and the residents who just want and deserve peace.
Wow. That's Lori Lightfoot. Lori Lightfoot is still mayor. It's not over yet. I don't think she's.
No.
They just had the elections.
Right. So
I can't believe that. And the other flaw with that, it's not up to prosecutors and judges. They don't make the laws. They're like the no bail crap. That's done by legislators.
Yes.
That's done by public officials who are elected to roles. So she should be calling them out too.
Yeah.
I guess there's some discretion with prosecutors in dealing with crime and judges and dealing with cases. There is some, but there's also laws that have been written by this crowd that believes that the prisons are too crowded and they're racially unjust.
And she has a prosecutor, which up until today I thought wildly supported, who was a Gascon type. Kim Fox.
The one that was dealing with what's-his-name, Jussie Smollett.
But her overall policies were very similar to Gascon, very similar to Alvin Bragg in New York City now. And Eric Adams was on stage, and he was seconding.
Why doesn't she name names, Lori Lightfoot? Name names. If that's who you're talking about, then if that's the prosecutor you're talking about, let us all know. It's just a cheap, generic statement she made. That's what I got out of it, right?
Yeah, but
you didn't make that statement much when you were mayor the last 4 years.
No, she didn't. But that's what I'm saying. It's like now suddenly, was it because she lost the election and it popped her bubble? Was she living in a state of unreality? There are a lot of people living in a state of unreality like right now. And they're under delusions. And she governed under a delusion for 4 years until she got kicked out of office. She only got 17% of the vote in the primary. 17%. That's unheard of. For an incumbent mayor. She won with 76% of the vote the first time. That's how bad she was. And the whole issue was crime. It was crime, 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 and crime. It was the only thing everybody was carrying on about.
Well, I don't get Chicago because her replacement is worse from what I'm reading. It was down to two guys. And the one that won is from we just cited him last week. They had rowdy teenagers. Rowdy, it sounds like a mild term, like kids in American graffiti movies. But no, they were causing trouble. In fact, I just saw this couple interviewed that they thought they're going to lose their lives to this mob that overtook a park in Chicago last weekend. And this new mayor said, oh, don't blame them. They don't have anything to do.
I know.
They need stuff to do. Why they run wild.
They elected somebody who's worse. I mean, it was a tight election. You know, it's
right, but why throw her out and elect somebody who's worse? I don't really understand, but...
I don't know.
On crime, it sounds like he is, from what I'm reading. He's got the same...
He's worse.
George Gascon school, the same thing.
There is a critical mass of... There's a critical mass in these cities, and I don't know what they're voting for. And I don't know what delusion they're living under. Because... they got a lot of minority votes, and minorities are most of the crime victims.
Yes, but minorities also believe that they have most of the people in prison from their community. So there's a mix there. They're the victims, but they also said, my cousin's always arrested for this and suspected of that. But
they're being victimized by their cousin.
I know. I could see going either way from that community.
Right. But, I mean, if you got to... If you got a violent whack job in the neighborhood, do you want him in prison or out to hurt you? Which do you want?
If it's your brother or your cousin that got arrested and you feel like he's being profiled and constantly being harassed by the police, that's where this goes.
If my brother was coming over to my house every day and robbing me and beating me up, I'd want my brother in prison. I don't want to get beat up and robbed every day.
But I think the problem is it's a small number of people that actually commit the crimes, as we've talked about. So the crowd you're talking about, they don't know as many people. But what goes around in the community is that the police are always suspecting us and are always profiling us. And everybody has that experience. If you ever see polls of black residents in black communities, that's often the result. They always feel that way. Well, we're always a suspect wherever we go. So that's more prevailing than being robbed by my cousin. I think so.
Right. Well,
it's more of an emotional, mental thing.
If you put away the bad guys, like in New York, what was it, 327
individuals
were causing thousands of the shoplifting thefts? Thousands. Yeah. 327. So how hard is it to put away 327 people? Why don't you just try that and see what happens?
Did Karen Bass have anything to say at this?
I heard one clip where she was mildly agreeing. But when she's got no passion in her. She's got no fire. But she was saying how, you can't be defunding the police.
No.
That was her angle. At least that's the clip I heard.
All right. Coming up, your chance for $1,000. KFI's inflation compensation contest is next with a keyword, John and Ken. KFI AM 640 live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right. Well, a lot on the show today, not a lot, but a considerable amount, will be on theft. A couple of stories going on. First of all, as you know, they're debating TikTok in Washington, D.C. TikTok, of course, has connections back to the Chinese communist government. And there are many saying that it should be banned in the United States because they can access data on Americans. Something, though, I heard this story a couple of weeks ago and I forgot to mention it on the air. And then just before we came on, I looked up a few stories. It's not TikTok so much. It can be other social media outlets, YouTube. There was one woman in a story who said she has 3,000 people a day that watch her at work. And I just stared at the story a moment. I said, seriously, what do they do? They watch her at work. That's kind of how she's a social media influencer.
What does she look like?
I was a black woman behind a desk. Yeah.
Is she showing off? Nothing spectacular, no. Showing off in kind of fashions? Or?
I just think people are lonely. Because the other one that I did look up a story on looks like it was a little more common during the height of the pandemic than it is now. The morning routine video. Many millions watch other people's morning routines.
Why?
I began to think about the old joke about watching paint dry. I can't imagine
this. You watch them make breakfast?
Or work out? Or put on their makeup? Yep. One woman says, I can learn a lot from that. I actually have an article. It's a couple of years old. She can't help it. She's addicted to watching people's morning routines.
What is it you learn?
Here she says, watching someone else's skincare, coffee, and breakfast situation should be mundane as hell, but 2.3 billion views of the hashtag morning routine say otherwise. I don't know. These baffle me. This is what the world's become. And this is not everybody. It's not that many people. But the fact that anybody would want to watch somebody else sitting at work or doing their morning routine just completely baffles me.
This morning routine, is it a single person doing this or is this a whole?
Oh, no. There's many people doing this. Right.
And so cumulatively, it's over 2 billion views.
3.5 billion. Yes.
3.5 billion.
Yes.
Have watched somebody else go through.
It says here the hashtag morning routine. The morning routine hashtag has 2.3 billion views on the platform, while a similar one called Get Ready With Me tag has 953 million.
Uh-huh. And I guess you could look at different people, whoever's participating that day?
That's correct. Yeah. One woman says that she watches the videos, it appeals to her because they're so different from her own day. As a mother of three boys, getting a chance for morning self-care is never an option. I find some of the routines inspirational and therapeutic to watch.
Inspirational?
Yes. Yes.
I
know you're baffled, too. That's why I brought this up. I just thought we could be baffled together.
Have you guys ever seen like a day in your life video type thing?
No.
Really?
Why would I don't. Now,
that's going to take a while. A day in the life. What is it, edited?
Yeah, oh, yeah, completely.
I bet you there's somewhere you could just have a 24-hour
camera.
Is the person's life really exciting? Like, are they some sort of an actor in films?
Sometimes it's a celebrity. Sometimes it's an athlete.
Like you.
No, I mean, this isn't something I would do. But
And you watch them at breakfast?
Yes, I know plenty of people that watch these types of videos. It makes no sense to me either. Trust me, I don't get
what's
it.
What's the pleasure they get?
I have no idea. Seeing how other people live, seeing other people's routines, maybe they take tips and tricks and
tips.
That's what the woman is saying in this article.
Yeah, right? I don't get it either.
A tip to do what? To eat your eggs more quickly?
Or look at what she wrote here. Different skincare product. Who knows? I don't get it either. Trust me.
TikTok morning routines offer people a chance to relax and enjoy the banal. When things are far from perfect, lingering shots of shower gel and sunrises have a soothing kind of power.
Shower gel?
She wrote. Sumptuous shots of breakfast bowls and avocado toast. Oh, that must be Deborah Moore.
Avocado toast? they're sitting there staring at shower gel and avocado toast.
Yeah. They find it soothing.
I feel like
Eric's right, too. Some get tips as to, I should try
tips
that.
Tips on what?
Skincare, foods that you might eat in the morning.
Yeah, I will say it's mainly, at least from what I've seen, common with female influencers.
I was going to
say, and stuff.
Men aren't doing this.
Not that I've seen. The people that I know that do this are all female. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But other women want to watch how to put on makeup.
Right. They learn how to do their makeup themselves.
Right.
Well, I could see that when you're 14.
Sure.
I looked at watch people make smoothies.
Get some good smoothie recipes.
Look them up online.
I really feel like I'm insane. Honestly, I feel like I went through the insanity trap door and I can't get out now. And it's not just this, it's everything.
Then the woman that claims she's got 3,000 people that watch her shuffle papers at her desk. I don't get it.
Can you imagine doing that in person? Like sitting at somebody's desk and just staring at them for a couple hours.
People do this with their families. Like couples will vlog their kids' lives. It's crazy. And they will set up trust funds for their kids with the money they make off YouTube.
So you could watch their kids go through their day?
Yes.
Oh!
That could be creeps doing that.
Well, that's a child molester.
Listen, I'm just telling you what I've seen on YouTube.
I think
we should do something on the show. Hey, if we can make some money, if you want to watch me prep for the John and Ken show.
It was a big deal years ago. They wanted to put little cameras in the studios. Remember? And we're all like, really?
No.
To see us just sitting there talking?
No, you can't because.
Yeah, but if we make
money.
Well,
they want to know what you look like, which I understand. But beyond that.
There's photos online.
Oh, I have no doubt these cameras right now that are on me, John, and Deborah are recording somewhere in some back studio somewhere.
That's right. Somebody might be selling those.
Oh, well, then we better look into that, man, because I want a profit.
The John and Ken show.
Is this the John and Ken show OnlyFans?
You could get video of Deborah yawning.
That's right.
Doing her nails in there. What else does she do?
Eating her avocado toast.
Yeah, that's right.
I remember Shannon used to balance her checkbook. I've never seen her do that.
No, she takes little micro naps.
I'm sleepy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, see, pretty much the end of civilization, isn't it?
Related to this, the attorneys general in 17 states, including Rob Bonta, California's attorney general, is urging the federal government to recall millions of Kia and Hyundai cars. You might say, what does that have to do with this?
There's a TikTok challenge.
There's a TikTok challenge, and apparently those models of Kia and Hyundai, you only need a screwdriver and a USB cable to steal some of them. And
thefts have
just really risen tremendously, although they're using percentages here. But they now account for 20% of all car thefts in Los Angeles.
That is a bad design. How do you make a car in 2023 that you could steal with a USB cord and a screwdriver?
Yeah, it says they don't have a feature on most cars that prevents the engine from starting unless the key is present, like the key fob or the key.
Yeah.
So that's the problem, and that's what the attorneys general are trying to tell the feds, make them recall these cars and fix that. They're claiming that there is a software fix, and some people have gotten numbers on how many cars have actually gotten the fix.
Does it say how it works? Like, what do you do with the USB cord? Where do you plug it in?
You'd have to go to the TikTok video. I'm not doing that. I have no idea. The story just says a screwdriver and a USB cable could work to start those cars. So, like the old hotwire situation you'd see in movies and TV shows.
Well, I know. I'm just trying to imagine because the only place to stick
a
USB
portable. You have a portable power unit or something, probably.
Yeah, because it just said the cable and the screwdriver. So the only place to put the cord is in the little slots when you plug in your phone.
Yeah, but you have something with you. People have portable chargers, portable everything.
Right, but but it has to go into something in the car.
Oh, I thought you meant in terms of
powering. What does it connect in the car?
I don't know. But it works because it's stealing a lot of cars. All right, we got
is
more
that
coming
it?
Up.
Because this is my head's starting to hurt.
I figured that. It's another one where you just want to check out and
stupid bleeping species.
Get on a SpaceX capsule or spaceship and get out of here.
Well, I missed my chance. The one that blew up yesterday. That's the one I wanted.
John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Stay with us, the full 3-hour show. We got, of course, the Moist Line folks are coming in the 3 o'clock hour along with a hack for the dumpster. Plenty to come. We have an update on the story that everybody was talking about a couple of weeks ago in San Francisco. A tech executive by the name of Bob Lee, he was the founder of Cash App, died. He was stabbed to death and apparently was trying to wave down cars and get help, but it was too late by the time police and paramedics got to save him. And what happened, of course, in the days ensuing that was that many people thought, well, there you go. That's San Francisco for you. You could be stabbed by anybody on the streets because they're not safe. And famously, the mayor, London Breed, was telling people before the arrest that may not be the story. And then we found out that the person they arrested is supposedly someone that Bob Lee knew, a man by the name of Nima Momeni, who lived across the bay in Emeryville. And apparently they were actually together inside a car when some sort of argument broke out, and the accusation is that Momeni then stabbed Bob Lee to death, not completely to death, but obviously enough that he needed medical attention immediately and didn't get it, and took off. So the next story that came out is the possible reason why they may have been arguing, and it could have been over Momeni's sister. Mm. His sister is a married woman, and there is speculation that she was in a relationship with Bob Lee, and this did not sit well with Nima Momeni. Because the story was that earlier in the evening, all three of them may have been together, and I don't know what that discussion was, but Momeni offered Bob Lee a ride, I guess, back to San Francisco to his hotel. And
a knifing.
And that's when, I can't tell whether or not this is premeditated or something happened in the car as they debated the whole relationship, and then Momeni just lost it and stabbed him. But
he knifed him in the heart.
Yeah, he did, man.
Yeah. Wasn't kidding around.
Well, Manny has a court appearance next week, but the newest thing we learned, and this is thanks to the Daily Mail and their way of reaching out to people inside the story, perhaps with money. I don't know. I'm also just speculating. But the report is that Momeni actually has gotten into a couple of previous police encounters, including a citation for domestic battery inside his loft, which happened actually just last summer. An unnamed woman called police and reported Momeni grabbed her arm and pulled it and pushed her physically. Additionally, the Bay Area outlet, the Chronicle, reports that police were called to Momeni's home on three other occasions over the past 4 years, but you'll find out in a moment those were milder situations. But a couple people in this story say that Bob Lee didn't really have much of a relationship with Momeni. It was the sister, and that created the tension in the relationship. But in August of 2022, a woman contacted police, said Momeni had gotten physical, attacked her. She needed assistance. They arrived at the building. The woman was on a stairwell. Momeni arrived to talk with them. And according to a report obtained by the Chronicle, the cops cited and released Momeni on suspicion of battery almost an hour after the call came in. They then waited with the victim, who was arranging transportation, before eventually giving her a ride. And as you know, often with domestic violence situations, the police don't do much. If the two parties, you talk it out, and it was just a moment of spontaneous anger.
Well, there's probably millions of couples that push and shove each other from time to time.
Yeah.
Well, the police showed up every time there was a shoving match between a couple, that there'd be no police.
I know, but it might have saved OJ's wife. But anyway.
Oh, yeah, well, because he brought out...
They ignored a lot of that stuff, remember?
Yeah, right. Well, because
LAPD was called all the time. No, sure, it's OJ, great, sure.
She was brutalized, yes, repeatedly brutalized.
Yeah. And she probably didn't want to deal with it either. That's often the case, unfortunately. Because it's one thing that couples argue, and maybe they get physical, but then there are psychos who will go to the next level and actually physically really beat you down and kill you, as we know in many of these cases. Momeni called the police to report possible identity theft. And on another occasion, it looks like his car was vandalized outside his property in Emeryville. He's been placed on suicide watch inside the city's jail.
Why? Let him go.
Yeah.
You give him a gun.
Yeah.
Save us the money. If he wants to go, let's do it.
Yeah. In an interview with the New York Post, an attorney for Momeni, Paula Canny, confirmed a relationship between Lee and Momeni's sister. Her name is Kazar Elesnia. Her husband is a prominent plastic surgeon in the Bay Area. She said that Bob Lee and the sister definitely knew each other. I don't think she characterized it as romantic, but said that they definitely had some sort of relationship, friendship. And supposedly he was grilling Lee about...
Must have been more than a friendship if Momeni stabbed him in the heart over it.
Yeah, well, apparently he was also concerned that his sister was doing drugs or something else. He had all sorts of questions for Lee. You're right, it didn't go well.
I don't think they were playing Scrabble.
No. Another friend who said he's known Lee for a decade said, yeah, he believes that Lee and Kazar were having an intimate, sexual relationship. And that the marriage with the plastic surgeon was probably in jeopardy from that. But we can see now from at least this one story that this guy has a temper and sometimes will get physical with people. And,
yeah, there was a quote in one of the early stories that one of his co-workers said that, he had like two sides to him. He was really fun to be around. And then there were times that he just went off,
yeah,
acted crazy. So.
And there was some story that he was cited for having a switchblade, right?
Yes. Yeah, he was years ago.
Which I didn't know. There was a story we had a couple weeks ago. There's an Arizona group trying to make carrying a switchblade legal in California. I didn't know it was illegal, but it is.
I don't know. Switchblade, is that one of the, that pops up?
Yeah, like, it's a long knife. Yeah, it's a very long stabbing knife, yeah. Mm.
See,
that the gang members used to use, like a West Side Story.
I got nothing to do with weapons. I don't know what these things look like, what they're called, what's legal and illegal. I don't know any of this. Every time it veers
when
into...
you're shot dead after a road rage matchup.
Oh, then I'm dead.
We'll feel sorry for you.
I've got nothing to respond with. I've never even thrown a rock. I'm a man of peace.
We got more coming up.
What is everyone laughing about? By the way, Eric.
Well, maybe you're peaceful actions, but you're not peaceful talking.
All right. Well, I'm not going to hurt anybody yelling. Eric, Dodgers are losing 13-0.
Yeah, they just broke up a perfect game, though, and it was in the most absolute hilarious fashion I've ever seen. It was a slow roller up the third base line, and the pitcher goes for it. The catcher's going for it as well, and the catcher all of a sudden just jumps on the pitcher's back, and the pitcher can't make the throw to first.
That ended the perfect game?
Yes, it was. I'll come in and show you at the break. It was hilarious.
Oh, wow. The pitcher should have clocked the catcher.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
You can hear us on the radio 1 until 4 after 4 o'clock. Go to the podcast, John and Ken on Demand at the iHeart app, and you can listen to everything you missed.
Who agrees? It's like the most beautiful day, huh? This is the warmest it's been in months. Months.
Yeah, many months.
Where it's reaching 80 and some places 90 degrees today. Plenty of sun. So you know what that means, John, because we also have a story to go with it. We're going to Bidenville after 2 o'clock. Haven't been there in a while. We're going to sit on the bench, take a seat with old Joe, and bring you up to date.
This is a beautiful day to be in Bidenville.
It is.
It's a beautiful day.
You'll hear the birds. The birds are in a good mood today. Everything's happening.
To get on the swing, have an ice cream.
That's right. Right. Make sure yours is vegan, though.
And I saw the biggest bird this morning.
The biggest?
It was a gigantic, like a raven in the Edgar Allan Poe story. It was huge.
Yeah, I have those in my area.
Big.
I don't know whether they're ravens or crows. There seems to be some debate.
I'm not good enough to tell, but it was big and fat. I couldn't believe it flew.
Oh, and they're loud. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I have, though? We were talking about with Tim, I think, a few weeks ago. Those green parrots near me, too.
Yeah.
And they all cluster together at the top of a very tall, like, palm tree. And they just...
Yeah, it's a noisy crowd. Yeah.
And when they all make the noise together, it's really loud.
Yeah, there's one...
Like, what are they watching? A video? A game? Is there a game going on? They're cheering?
I don't know. I always wonder... I birdwatch a lot. That's what I'm going to do when I'm in the home, is birdwatch. I've done it since I was a little kid. I'm just ridiculously fascinated by birds. I don't know why. Makes no
sense.
And
I'm fascinated by squirrels.
Oh, there you go. So
squirrels, because of their jerky, crazy movements, I just love watching them, and they play with their nuts.
What?
Well, that's something else to do in the home.
Yeah, they always and they do use their paws or like little hands.
They
manipulate the shell or whatever. I watch them sometimes on the.
Anyway. Although I saw a squirrel smashed on the road this morning with those big ugly ravens or crows eating it. It was very upsetting. It was not
a
beautiful
video
sight.
Next time.
Oh, God, no. I closed my eyes as I was walking.
No, that doesn't go on your social media?
No, I didn't post that. It was disgusting.
Yeah, scavenger birds are really entertaining when they find a good meal.
I didn't know this was still going on. This was a big thing maybe in the 90s into the early 2000s. There would be these organizations out there that would try to sting pedophiles. Remember that, John? Catch a Predator, right?
Yeah, there's a whole TV series on it.
There was a whole TV series. I think the host of that show, though, got in trouble for something else. I can't remember
his name. He did. Yeah.
Well, there's something called the Creep Catchers Unit. And the target this time was a 59-year-old man by the name of Ed Gale, the actor who played Chucky in the 1988 horror film Child's Play, which became a classic horror. I'm sure, John, you didn't see it.
I didn't see
it. The doll that stabs people. And
I don't go to those.
The doll kind of comes
to life. I go
to
happy movies.
You do go to happy. You don't go to any movies. So. You told me once you don't like anything fiction, so I don't know why you're...
Well, I used to like comedies back when they made them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, what was going on here was apparently, and if you see what Ed Gale looks like, he's small and he's kind of almost like he has no neck. The head is just placed on his fat body.
He looks like a bowling ball with a head.
I think he might be miniature size, too. I can't tell. He's also wearing like an oxygen tube mask around. Not a mask, but it's at the, you know, it's got the thing around his nose, his nostrils.
Yeah.
Like he's inhaling oxygen, maybe he has some health problems. So, they went after him, and he apparently was caught engaging in sexually explicit online conversations with a boy he thought was 14. And we're going to get this report from Gina Silva from Fox 11.
Ew. Yes, I'm admitting I know it was wrong and it was illegal. I'm admitting that. and I'm sorry.
When actor Ed Gale was captured on camera admitting to sexting a 14-year-old boy, allegedly with the intention to meet for sex.
Why would you turn everything sexual, Ed?
Because this is a whole hookup in the making.
Some of his former fans weren't the least bit surprised.
And honestly, I was just happy to see him get caught.
Jonathan, a New York resident, was a minor when he first saw the 1988 horror movie Child's Play. Ed Gale was the actor playing Chucky.
It got really weird, and I was put in a situation where I didn't know what to do because this horror character that I grew up loving is now trying to hit on me.
Jonathan says he was just a fan of Gale's work, but through a social media account, he says the actor began pressuring him for a sexual relationship.
Then he started to call me his baby boy.
Ew.
And he would say how he wanted to be my daddy and stuff like that.
It was simply too much for Jonathan, who was just a teen. He stopped communicating with the actor, and he set up an Instagram account to warn other Chucky fans.
How many other victims do you have in it?
I'm going to say 10.
10 kids you talk sexually online?
I guess, yeah.
When the child activist group known as the Creep Catching Unit confronted Gale during a sting operation, he simply wouldn't stop incriminating himself.
Did you try to solicit child pornography from him?
I tried to get him a naked picture from him, yes.
The activists say Gale thought he had been communicating with a teen boy, but it turned out to be a decoy from the CC unit.
We talked about spanking.
With all this information spanking coming from Gale himself, you may be wondering why he hasn't been arrested.
Yeah, why?
The
yeah
important question there is what his intent was, and if he took steps to affect that intent, to make that intent a reality, that is a crime.
Attorney Samuel Dordulian is a former L.A. County prosecutor. He says the investigation into this type of case can be lengthy, but he believes it's only a matter of time before Gale is arrested.
It's got to be the forensic on the electronic devices. That does take some time for them to be able, especially if it's encrypted, to get through, get in, look at all the evidence. And if there is evidence, to maybe follow up with that evidence. There could very well be many other victims. And maybe they're trying to put it all together as one.
I've heard from a lot of offenders where they'll even say they just look young. They're not really young.
USC clinical professor Annalisa Enrile says it's not really surprising that Gale is making deviant admissions.
They really believe that what they're doing, if not okay, is explainable. They're just really trying to convince themselves and defend their position.
How old were these 10 kids?
Oh, that I couldn't tell you. That I could not tell you.
Were they, what was the youngest?
That I could not tell you. But I will say all under 18.
I spoke with a detective on this case. He says the LAPD is investigating. They're looking at all of Gale's social media accounts. They've confiscated his phones. And as soon as they complete the investigation, they will turn it over to the LA County District Attorney's Office.
What good is that going to do?
Gina Silver from Fox 11. Well, remember, the difficulty with this is the 14-year-old that this creep catcher has caught him doesn't exist, right?
Right.
The first person you heard talking, that was years ago when apparently Ed Gale tried to entice him.
Perverted troll.
Yeah, I know. The voice and...
Yeah, look at him.
It's kind of weird the way he just readily admits what he was trying to do. And it's so creepy.
Anybody
I wanted to get a naked picture of him, sure.
How the hell would you connect online with
him? 14-year-olds are just... The first guy was just taken by the celebrities. Like, oh, wow, Chucky reached out to me.
I was 14.
All right, we'll
gonna that be stupid at 14.
You were an odd, different 14-year-old.
It was odd.
Maybe more mature, maybe in certain ways. You just weren't taken in by kid things ever. You just never you didn't have a childhood.
No. Well, if I know it's some weird
childhood
looking,
was ruined by a plunger.
If I had a weird looking troll trying to contact me, I'd know enough not to engage with him.
All right, we'll be in Bidenville next with some news. John and Ken, KFI AM 640 live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.